Hi, Anuparna Roy. We're here at Venice to talk about your second feature film, Lovers in the Blue Night. How does it feel for you to come back after you won the Orizzonti Prize for the best film last year?
So amazing to be here. I mean, Venice was a dream to me. Started making the first film. It was dream come true. And again, to be here, it's like coming back to the home again because the audience and the people around here are so amazing. They're so mentally upgraded. The way they accept social realism inside films, just tremendous to witness such kind of intellectuality from the audience itself. It's like watching intellectual audience watching your film and criticizing it. It's the biggest thing. I'm just so overwhelmed and I'm just so happy.
People often say doing the second film is the hardest because then there are the expectations that come with the first film. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about this?
I was never scared, to be very honest. In terms of my profession, I was never scared. I am only scared about my narrative. Am I doing good or not? I don't want to fit into any group or any films group in India. I just want to make films which are better than my last one. It's the constant struggle which I'm trying to encounter and trying to understand or address. What are the problems was in Songs of Forgotten Trees I made? What are the new problems in terms of as a writer? I mean, what the hell I'm doing? I'm writing it good or I'm again serving a same stereotype monotonous film? I just care about my narrative, my craft and nothing else.
Did you feel the prize from Orizzonti helped in getting the film produced?
Of course. I mean, the award helped me getting my second producer. But my producers already signed me before I owned. That was one thing which was very miraculous because it was like they wanted to do a film with me. And I had a script already ready. But the script was a short film. It was because I thought songs will not do great. So I started writing Lovers in the Blue Night as a short film. Because I thought I will not stop practicing filmmaking. Because what if songs never work out? I had to practicing it. So that's how we made the length of the script in a feature film and developed it.
A central element to Lovers in the Blue Night is this setting in Mumbai. And it's actually one of several films in the last year that all from very different angles show the city and its life and the different fates playing out in it. Why do you think is Mumbai becoming such a focal point in film? And what does the city and its atmosphere mean to you?
Because of the creators' own migration. The creators are migrant there. I am from Mumbai. I shifted to Bombay 3 years ago. And shifting me from Delhi to Bombay was political. Shifting me from village to Delhi was political. So thus migration coming in my stories because I've been, though I'm a privileged migrant, but social realism was something which you cannot deny. If you see the film, you will not find the exaggeration of the Mumbai's beauty. It's not there. It's a different Mumbai. I can bet on it. It's a different Mumbai, which you already seen earlier film. I am not focusing on the exterior's beauty. I'm talking about a very human story where all the four characters wants to live their life. It's the most simple desire one human can have. And I am not exaggerating poverty. I mean, we tried our best to sympathize with the characters and their economical condition and their geographical surroundings. Rather, we talked about their desire and how their desire is driving. Desire of getting a societal identity, which is completely performance, which is completely performative, society itself. On the other hand, getting accepted by the society, again like chasing an identity, getting a husband, getting seen and heard by a husband. The husband is looking for love, he's gay. On the other hand, the other characters are looking to be accepted by the upper caste. It's a complete societal drama, societal realism, which I'm studying from past 3-4 years.
You're very right. We see this Mumbai that's the backlots, that's the small flats where working class people and low paid people work. So did you research those areas or did you also maybe live in them or have some lived experience from them?
So every time I used to go for recce, I used to ask my production manager that you're not going to tell me where to shoot. I'm going to find the place. I'm going to go. I'm going to search with my team and then I'm going to tell you and then you bring me the permission to get this shooting done. So it was like whenever I used to go out, it was like exploring a new Bombay. And we always had this inside our mind to find some new element, which was never before. I mean, in this film, we didn't exaggerate those small windows or big flats. If you saw the film, it's not there. A family who lives near the sea, they have trauma from flood and how that flood ended up inside their own lives and navigating through their emotions. It was mostly finding out real places, which we never seen before. Like in literal sense, it was easy for me to shoot in Dharavi. Dharabhi. Because Dharabhi we've seen in every Bombay, Mumbaikar films, because Dharabhi is the biggest slum. But there are more other slums which are there here and there. You just have to look for it and try to not exaggerate, but we don't know how much we are successful or not.
We see this diversity also reflected in the different languages and accents we hear in the film. Do you speak several of them, and was it hard to, or did they just come organically with the actors?
No, I speak only regional Bengali language, which is not elite Bengali, which is not Bengali because I come from a village. So my language is different. It's a Purulia's language I speak. I shifted to Delhi. I learned North Indian Hindi language because of migration, because it is political. If you don't speak Hindi, they're going to ask you questions. So I had to learn. And then I learned, of course, English, because I studied English literature, because you have to start a communication in an organization or in a college, because I had to do call center because I couldn't get selected in film school and I had no options but doing jobs. So when I was in call center, I learned English. Mingling the all three, four languages, it was mostly to showcase the diversity of this migration of diversities of India. In India, in 30 kilometers, there's different language, there's different culture, there are different everything. Everything is different. So to bring that real migration and real migrant, I had to bring out their own languages. And I believe in portraying those languages which are going to be extinct, which are not the mainstream language, like Hindi or English. My characters speak something which is very regional, very local, very original, and they talk like that. That's how they learn.
Yeah. There's also a strong narrative focus on female desire. Would you say that's something new in both maybe international cinema, but also in local Indian cinema?
The female desire, isn't it very personal? I mean, all the South Asian women are very much suppressed because of the gender discrimination and because of the gender hierarchy. So it comes very naturally inside the film, because I've seen women who never took stand for themselves, who never can speak their voice out. They're never vocal. They're always suppressed. For me, exploring that narrative, exploring that theme, which is talking about this suppressed woman and their desire, was something very much important, because that's how you bring the social realism. Otherwise, I mean, I've never seen rich families women, so I don't know them. They must be very much liberal and very much neutral and very much mentally upgraded. I've seen mostly women who are suppressed, so I had to talk about it.
At this point, do you already have a new project that you're working on?
Yeah, I'm working in a very romantic film, which is talking about a dysfunctional marriage of a coal engineer and his wife. It's a romantic film. It doesn't have any sexual complexities.
We are looking forward to see that. Thank you so much for this interview.
Thank you so much.